Proverbs 16:26, he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. Now, this is a principle that applies in everyday life, every day, every moment, for everybody. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. To work, to labor, in order to be sustained and fed and healthy and establish a home in this world is not a result of the fall. Many are mistaken about that. It is not a consequence of our sin that we work. The Lord told Adam to dress and keep the garden before there was ever sin in this world. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. I'm not sure why the word there is translated dress, because if you look it up in the original Hebrew, that word means work. It literally means work, to work, and to keep it, to work it. Now that was before sin. Then here's what the Lord said after Adam sinned, also having to do with labor. Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. You ever wonder why, ever wish your tomatoes grew like weeds grow? I've never seen a tomato plant growing out of the crack between my driveway and the road, have you? They'll grow anywhere. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it, thorns and thistles. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So it's not work itself that's bad or vain or even unpleasant. There's nothing unpleasant about work itself. Even under the curse, there is a satisfaction in hard work that has results. But as a result of sin and the curse, work is not what it was before. It's tough. It's grueling. It's a struggle. The earth itself is working against you. Not like before. It's not just a matter either of the earth being cursed and not producing like it did before the fall. Because of man's sin, every kind of work is vain and mostly a drudgery. It's grueling. It's difficult. Now, our text, I want to point this out too. Our text doesn't say that a man doesn't work for his family when it says he that laboreth for himself. That's not a, it's not a selfish thing. It's just, that's the truth of it. It's laboring for your family is laboring for yourself. It's for your own self-interest that you labor, including your family and whatever good you're able to do as a believer by God's grace. Relative good that you're able to do with whatever you earn. So it's not saying that. It's simply saying that man works to make money, to buy beans, to get the strength, to work, to make money, to buy beans, to get the strength, to work. That's man's lot in this life. And I know that there are exceptions in that people don't work and still get money, but somebody worked for it. So the principle holds true. This is what Solomon wrote about. Solomon, speaking of the vanity of life without Christ, wrote this in Ecclesiastes 6:7. Listen carefully to this. Ecclesiastes 6:7. All the labor of man is for his mouth. It's to consume and to stay alive. And yet, the appetite is not filled. It's never, you can never just say, well, I've worked enough. And I'm just going to eat. And so think about this. Before the fall, work was pleasant and good and rewarding and fulfilling, honest and wholesome. Dressing and keeping the garden was not a drudgery. There was no sin, no consequences of sin. Bugs didn't make holes in your food, and birds didn't come and take it away and eat it, and squirrels and things like that. It just didn't happen that way. There was plenty for every creature. After the fall, work is still necessary, but now it's grievous. It's vain. It's unfulfilling. It's never enough. It's never really perfect, is it? It's unproductive. I worked since I was, before I even graduated, I don't even remember, I was probably in junior high when I started working. I think I worked 4 or 5 years before I graduated high school until I was, I guess, 40-something, just as a laborer in this world. And you know what I accomplished? Absolutely nothing, except the obvious. I was able to support myself and my family. That's what it was. But as far as making some big splash on the world, they just didn't that way. So before the fall, work, wonderful, fulfilling, desirable. After the fall, not so much. Not so much. But that's not the end of the story. There is an after the fall. When a man in Christ Jesus is more than a conqueror over the sin into which we fell in the garden, he's more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, physical labor becomes a blessing again. It's a blessing again. And when I say it's vain, this world works. And I'm not saying they're not successful. I'm just saying that what they call blessings are a curse if they don't have Christ. It's just the truth. But in Christ Jesus, physical labor even is a blessing. It's a blessing of the Lord. It's a gift. It's something that we're thankful for. Though the effects of the fall are all still there, we're still going to sweat. When a sinner, though, works as unto the Lord, as we're taught to do as believers in this world, though all of the hardships of labor under the curse apply and are present, yet work now is worship. It truly is worship. If it's done for the glory of God, it's done in gratitude. It's an acknowledgement of the curse of sin. It's a bowing to that. When we work and labor in this world, it's an acknowledgement of the curse, but also an agreement with it. Those who steal and are dishonest and try to get by in this world without working, the ones I've known that have done that worked harder to not work than they would have if they'd have just worked. And of course, they risk the consequences of that every day. Even the temporal consequences of it. But we bow to the fact, as we do honest labor in this world, we bow to the fact that we're consigned to that for now. For a reason. It's service to God and not men. As unto the Lord, if we could just work as unto the Lord, that's a simple thing, but very elusive. There's thanksgiving in the heart unto God, because though we bear temporal consequences of our sin, we're provided by God a means of sustaining ourselves and our family. And it's a reminder, it ought to be a reminder, as we labor in this world and we're sweating, and whatever it is we're doing, we get tired of it. You may be in an air-conditioned building doing it, so there may not be a whole lot of physical sweat, but you know what this word sweat means. It means it don't just come easy anymore. There's different kinds of sweat. And as that's happening and you're sick to your stomach of all of the treachery and foolishness that comes with working in this world, remember this. It ought to remind us that we will never, ever truly suffer the true consequences of our sin. We're bearing some consequences of it in this world, but we're never going to suffer the true consequences of our sin ever in this life or the life to come if we're in Christ. And our labor in this world ought to be a reminder of that. The consequences of our sin is eternal death. Those that say, because they go through some tough things in this world, I'm suffering for my sins, don't know what sin is or its consequences. But because of Christ's labor, his work for us, our work is a blessing, even now. Even with the temporal consequences of the fall fully in place. Now here's the New Testament exhortation to believers regarding working and eating as a believer in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. I'd have you turn, and you can certainly turn to these if you're quick. But I didn't want to go too long, but listen to 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now it's clear from the next couple of verses here why Paul is particularly addressing that in the church at Thessalonica. If any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Those two things always go together. I was just telling Vicki the other day something, I forget what it was now, and it doesn't matter. I wouldn't tell you if I did remember. It would just be a distraction, but you've experienced this yourself. Something was happening, somebody was doing or saying something, and it was not anybody we know, it was just something that we heard. I can't remember if it was on the news or whatever, and I said, you know, some people just have too much time on their hands. If you really are worried about that, then you've got too much time on your hand. They go together. If you don't work, if you got nothing to do, then what you're going to do is just stir up stuff and think about stupid stuff that you can complain about and find fault with. I honestly, before God, don't have time for that. And I'm thankful. I don't have time for that. And if I did, I hope that I wouldn't be like that by God's grace. But you see how that goes together. Working not at all, but boy, you're all about everybody else and what they're doing wrong. Always goes together. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this have to do with Christ? Everything. Everything. Them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work. Put your head down and do what's in front of you to do and shut it. You know how many problems that would solve in the church and in the world? That with quietness they work and eat their own bread. You see our text there? It's not a bad thing that we work because our mouth craves it. It's necessary. It's what God has given us to do in this world. We're made to work. We're built to work. We have hands unlike almost any other creature in the world, so we can work with them. And then, though, most importantly, there is spiritual labor, and this is the after the fall. Before the fall, work was a wholesome and godly, wonderful, fulfilling, fruitful. There was never any grief about it. There was never any drudgery to it. But then after the fall, that's all. It's all about that. It just is. But then after the fall, in Christ, yeah, it's still a drudgery to the flesh, but what a blessing that God has given us something to do and the ability to do it. What a blessing that is. That's worship. It's worship to do what Paul exhorted here. Just put your head down and in quietness, do what God has given you to do and eat your own bread. Enjoy, by God's grace, the results of your labor in this world. And then there's, as part of the after the fall, there's spiritual labor, which we never entered into until we entered into the kingdom of God by our Lord Jesus Christ, by being born of the Spirit and seeing and entering into his kingdom. There was no spiritual labor. We were spiritually dead in Adam. But we entered by Christ into the kingdom of God. And so we, as he did, as he said, we have meat to eat that this world knows not of. It's as real and even more vital than our physical food. There is a laboring that results in complete satisfaction. After the fall, that doesn't happen unless there's an after that, even, of being in Christ Jesus and seeing him and what he did. We are not sustained. In other words, we do not live by bread alone. We work for our bread and we eat our bread, But we don't live by that alone. That's not life. We live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's why we're here this morning. The gospel is life. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The gospel is our true food and drink. The gospel, Christ, is our meat and drink indeed. He said, if you eat not my flesh and drink my blood, there's no life in you. You have no life. No matter how hard you work and how much money you make and how fine you eat in this world, you're dead. Christ is our meat and drink indeed, insomuch that we say with Job, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's the right way to esteem the gospel, because it is more. It's more necessary. Christ is the one thing needful, to the point where people say, well, I've got to work. No, you don't. Got to eat. No, you don't. I've got to have water. No, you don't. You may not ever take another drink. What you need is Christ. And if you never do any of the things that this world says are necessary ever again, if you have Christ, you have everything. So the futility and the vanity that Solomon wrote of is done away in Christ. This world is exactly the way he described it. Vanity and vexation of spirit. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. Our text talks about bread. Talks about the mouth fulfilling the hunger. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Always hungering and thirsting for him, but always fulfilled. Never going without. That's satisfaction. Our text speaks of craving. Christ speaks of satisfaction. Our text speaks of labor. Christ says, come and rest. Amen.